Well, it was an exciting day yesterday and today, and you never know what little Sophie might do. And just hold on tight and pray, you know. She might just wiggle out of your hands and go for a dive, you know, in there. You just never know what that little girl's going to do. I thought her big sister was a hoot until I met her, you know. Here comes the second one. But, you know, they're a joy, of course, and Brother Daniel, Miss Candy, just choice people. We love them to death. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 John chapter 4. We had a wonderful time yesterday. Had good visits out first thing in the morning, and then the fellowship party thing for Brother Colin, Miss Caselyn. I appreciate your tenderness with all of that and support to them. And now it's four and no more, you know. All are married. And that's done, and we thank God for that. Again, I thank God that they all married Christian people, all married like faith people. They all married people who love the Lord, want to serve the Lord, and have been serving the Lord. And I'm so very grateful to that. And I have so many of our members that tell me on a regular basis, "Preacher, you are blessed." And I do know that. I do know that. And I certainly recognize the blessings of God and praise God for those blessings. And I know it could easily be something very different. Easily be. But by the grace of God, right? It could easily be something else. And I'm so very grateful for the God's blessings and provision, protection on our family. Few chapters in the Word of God deal so comprehensively with the love question, the love of God, as this particular chapter. In chapter 4, and here we read, beginning in verse 7, "Beloved," or if you love the old way, "beloved," I like that myself, you know. "Beloved," it just sounds like old Dr. Criswell, you know. "Beloved, beloved, let us love one another. For God is of love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." 1 John 4:9. "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect," mature, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Of course, Thursday is our national holiday of Thanksgiving. And we pray all would have a wonderful Thanksgiving, especially those military personnel who are out and far away from their own families, who love God and want to honor this special day. And I pray that their meal will be hot, it will be delicious, and it'll be more than they want to eat. God bless them, each and every one of them. And God bless you as you celebrate with your family. I am so thankful for the love of God. The love of God. I'm so thankful. Love finds its source in God. If God's out of the picture, love's out of the picture. God is love. Of course, in verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God's love is so powerful, it's so prevalent, so that if you know God, you can't help but get God's love shed abroad on you. If you're around God at all, you're going to be in the rain shower, if you would, of love. It's sort of like being out in a spring rain, nice spring rain, it's warm outside, and here comes a nice gentle rain, and you walk out into that rain, and you just soak up God's goodness. That's what it's like. You get close to God, and you will feel the gentle rain of His love. You can't help but do that. God is love, and His love is in everything from Him. His love is in everything. He never divorces Himself from His attributes. And one of those great attributes is love. Never does. Do you divorce yourself from love when you chase in your child? I don't think so. We call it mercy. It is God's forgiving love. It's been said. We call it providence. It's God's caring love. We call it kindness. It's God's understanding love. We call it Christ's passion and death. We call it God's proven love. We call it happiness. It is God's encouraging love. And we call it the will of God. It's God's unerring love. We call it heaven. It's certainly God's rewarding love. I'm very thankful for the love of God, and I'm very thankful for that His love is expressed. His love is shared. He could have hoarded it all, but He has too much. It just spills out and runs over, and His goodness runs over. It's like a good ice cream cone. It just melts and just runs over the edge. God's love is so sweet. It is so good. Won't you take a lick? Why don't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Now, the love of God is expressed by God. Love is not hidden by God. There's no such thing as a camouflaged Christian. There's no such thing as a God who hides His love. The one true God has expressed and revealed His love. He's freely showed and demonstrated His love to the world, and especially not only to the world, but to the world of humanity, both lost and saved. Now, there are far too many ways that God expresses His love for me to cover here. Even in a book, if I was to write a book, you wouldn't be able to carry the book home in your car. It'd be too big. All the books of the world couldn't contain all the acts of the Lord and His great love that He's bestowed upon humanity. Yeah, I gladly share with you some, well, I think are very profound on this special morn. Number one, I want you to know that the earth was created for man. Now, I know some of the guys at the universities and gals, they have got this thing kind of turned upside down, but I want you to know God's word is very clear on the subject that the earth, this planet, was created for man. Genesis 1:31, I'll not get in chapter 3, Brother Colt. It's okay. You can hold your breath. The Bible says that God saw everything that He had made. Behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In all of the world's galaxies, I remember Brother Colt preached the message and he talked about, I think he even showed some of the galaxies on a PowerPoint, you know. Got to see it in PowerPoint. The earth is, I want you to know, in all the galaxies of all that's out there, earth is just a speck. And if that speck was off by the slightest degree, just the slightest degree, mankind would not be able to survive and live on this planet. No more than you could if you just got in your jet plane and you just flew to outer space and flew all the way to Jupiter. And you landed your plane and you got out there and you say, "Where's the pool party?" I want you to know, you wouldn't last very long. You wouldn't last very long. Why? Because Jupiter's not made for man. Earth is made for man. I understand many of our astronauts through the years went to outer space as unbelievers, but came back believers. Because they get out yonder and they turn around and look at earth and say, wow. Out of all of this, this one-of-a-kind special place dwells mankind. And all of the things they started picking up back yonder, pointed-headed books, you know, they start to really wonder if that could possibly be true. Because this is no accident. This is no accident. It sure does, and they're learning to find out, you know, truth has the way of kind of being slow, and it kind of takes a little time sometimes for truth to catch up, especially in the scientific community. And it sure looks today, as people who are looking the best and the cleanest towards the evidence, it looks like there was a fix in. In other words, there looks like there was certainly a great designer involved in all of this. And I want you to know, yeah, it was fixed. And the fixer is Creator God. So earth was created for man. Number two, God created man in his own image. Isn't that something we should be thankful for? Not the monkey, not the ant, not the giraffe, but a man. Mankind is created in the image of God. Male and female created, the Bible says. Created he them. In chapter 1 of Genesis 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I'm thankful for that. And I tell you, that makes you special. That makes you special. You say, I don't feel special. Well, see yourself as God sees you. You're special. You're far more special than a spotted owl. And I'm not against the spotted owl. I'm just for humanity. Amen? All right. Number three. God's creation of mankind, men and women, incorporates manifold superior qualities and traits. You're not just a lump on a log. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not just junk. God doesn't make junk. Communists make junk. God doesn't make junk. Amen. That reference, by the way, that we praise thee, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, if you're taking notes, is Psalm 139:14. We are made, but we are not manufactured in some vast building out yonder in the heavenlies. And some assembly line is just doing everything exactly the same, just one right after another, one right after another. And that's what this particular verse is talking about. How we are fearfully, carefully by God, carefully designed. And you notice in that verse it says, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each and every soul gets to say that. Do you agree with God? That you yourself, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm thankful for that. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, custom made by God. Isn't that a wonderful God? Yeah. Custom made by God. God made each of us with great care, carefully crafted us by material that is both observable by the human eye and beyond our capabilities to see. The human cell. I haven't seen one of those things yet, but I believe they're there. How about the genetic code? A wonder of wonders. That up until, you know, they didn't even know it existed. And then here, look at here. There's a whole manifold complicated language written that eyes can't even see. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you imagine the poetry a donkey would write? Be one-liner. Right? What's the sound of a donkey? What's a donkey say, Kelsey? Be a one-liner. Boy, that'd be a delightful, inspiring poem, wouldn't it? I don't think so. What about the song A Lion Would Sing? Boy, after a couple of stanzas of that, you're ready to leave the farm or the zoo. What about a baby lullaby that a hippo would sing to her baby? I'm out of here, right? What about a parakeet serving as a grocery store clerk? Polly, want a cracker? I had crackers last week. Thank you. I don't need any crackers. Polly, want a cracker? I said I had got crackers last week. We still got half a box left. I don't need crackers. Polly, want a cracker? You could be a dead bird. God gave mankind superior intellect, superior emotion, superior design, superior capacity to love, written language, amazing, reasoning powers, logos, reasoning powers, to look into the heavens and see the handiwork of God. So much so, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Reasoning powers, discernment, consciousness, and much, much more. We're talking about the evidence of the love of God. He doesn't love spotted owls like that, but He loves you like that. Amazing. Number four, spiritual life given to mankind. Back in Genesis 7. And we'll get back to our text here. I'm just warming up. 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When you began, you will never end. Cows do not live forever. Sorry. Cows do not live forever. Humans do. Crows do not live forever. You say, what's a crow? It's a bird. Crows do not live forever. Humans do. Crocodiles, they don't live forever. Humans do. Humans have a future, either good or bad, indeed. But humans have a future. And they have a future by their individual choice. Chickens don't have that. Humans have that. Humans have that. Number five, and back in our text, we'll see, even after mankind fell to sin, that's a great tragedy. Even after mankind fell to sin, which, by the way, justly was punished by death. The wages of sin is death. God in His love provided a way of rescue, of salvation, for that sinful man and woman, and us yet today. Back in our text in 4:9, in this was manifested, see the expression, it was made manifest, it was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live through Him. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That wasn't an oops. We know that the Lord was slain even from the foundation of the world. It was God's sovereign plan. John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, for the sins of the whole world. The Lord Himself said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So how much does Jesus love me? With the greatest love possible. You cannot measure the love of Christ. You can go as deep as you possibly could in the deepest ocean, and you can find the greatest chasm in that deepest ocean, and you can find the deepest hole in that chasm in the deepest ocean, and you still will not even come close to the depth of God's love. No way. Impossible. There's never been such a picture of love given to mankind than the Son of God, humbling himself, taking upon himself the form of man, humbling himself, becoming a servant, and then suffering and dying for our sins. There's never, ever, world history over, there's never been a greater picture and portrait of the love than the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he went through. And don't forget the suffering. Sometimes we just see the death and we say, okay, somebody put a needle in his arm. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Lord suffered and died a miserable death for our sins. Don't ever forget. Look and live. Look and live. He suffered and died not only for your sin, but for mine. Every person you know and every person you do not know. In Romans 10, of course, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from this wrath, saved from this hell and judgment. Anyone who has attended Sunday school for just 4 weeks, you've heard, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Preacher said, what's the greatest word you've ever tried to explain? One said, well, how about the word so? For God so. You try to exhaust that word. You just try it. You'll find it to be impossible. How much does he love you? I used to tell all of our kids, I'm kind of mourning that they're all now married and gone. I'm in sackcloth and ashes. But I used to tell them, I love you, I love you. We say, well, I love you here, and I love you up to there, and I love you up to heaven, and I love you behind my back. You know, we're always trying to outlove one another. But we can't even come close to the love of God. Mothers are so special. You say, are they more special than daddies? Yeah, I would kind of go along with that. Yeah, I would. Nobody loves a child like a mother. Nobody. Even our courts, secular courts, even a judge that probably shouldn't be on the bench will recognize there's no love. In normal cases, we understand. No one will love that child like a mother. And they recognize that. And reasonable people understand that and have witnessed it. It's self-evident in our lives. In our text again, in verse 9, we see this manifested love towards us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I desire and I pray that all of God's children would not exist but live. Live. Enjoy your Christian life. I know we have to face trials, but let us do so with joy in our hearts, knowing that our trials shall end and our triumphs shall never end. Joy, brothers and sisters, comes in the morning. Weeping, and indeed we weep, but it only lasts for the night. And joy is coming. So keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. Please do not strive to just exist, but to live joyfully, abundantly live the Christian life, the spiritual life to its fullest. Number 6. In every soul, I'm thankful for the expression love of God, because in every soul, in every human being lies the capability through God to love others. In every person, through Christ, we are capable of loving other people. In verse 12 in our text, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That little word right there, the first word in that the sentence, if, is of great significance. If. If we love one another. It's vitally important here because many do not choose to do this. They refuse to do this, to love. Many have not chosen God. Many have not chosen the love of God, the love of Christ, to their own sadness and to, frankly, their own destruction, to different degrees, I agree. but they've chosen their own destruction. To choose love, we must choose God. We must. The Lord says you must be born again. You must. It's not an option. Listen carefully. To choose love, we must choose God. You must choose God. Mankind's poor decision brings heartache, destruction, and misery. You think about when God created Adam, he said to Adam, you can eat of all of these trees, but this one tree, you can't eat of that tree. If you eat of that tree, you can surely die. He gave humanity the power of choice. Adam did not have to eat of the forbidden tree. Are you kidding me? There's nothing within the text that would even remotely suggest that God forced him to do that somehow, some way. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Of course not. Of course not. He chose to disobey God, not being deceived. He chose. God said, don't do that. And he said, I think I will. He chose of his own accord. Nobody was there twisting his arm, had a gun to his head. So from the earliest text on this matter, first use, from the earliest text on this matter, we clearly see mankind has the choice to choose. To choose. He can eat of all of those trees, but not this one. And he chose to eat of the forbidden tree. Now I know you're smart people, but let me offer you some things here. Once choice is given to mankind, mankind has the power to choose. The power to choose. It is not God's fault that so many human beings choose not to love God. He's fully expressed, more than proved, his love to the lost. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Even the air they breathe is his proof. And they know love, for them to love others, it certainly would be far better and healthy for society, for the world, if everybody loved everybody, wouldn't it? Be far better than what we have today. We have people in the United States calling for the total removal from the earth, our Jewish friends and neighbors. Unthinkable in these United States. Calling publicly, not in the dark alley somewhere, some, you know, moss-back book that nobody reads, but walking the streets and crying out. Unthinkable. But think about it, without choice, love is not possible. People wonder out loud, and sometimes not so much out loud, why does God allow suffering? Why does God indeed allow wars? Why does this happen and that happen? And much of those questions are resolved when you understand God gave human beings the power to choose. They are a choice maker. They have to choose. And the very capacity now to love is not ever going to be made without human beings also having the power to choose. If humans didn't have the power to choose good or evil, human beings could never choose to love. Wouldn't exist. Choose good or evil. And we advocate for the good side, right? We advocate for that. Charles Darwin, a famous or infamous book, I guess, written in 1859, the title of that book, it's interesting. The full title is even more interesting. Do you know the full title? A lot of people don't know the full title. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. Or, it continues, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. The first is silly, the second is very dangerous. I understand over 12,000 copies that were made were sold out. The first part of the title, of course, of his book, The Origin of Species, it's kind of strange because he really didn't deal with the origin of species. By the way, plural. More than one. But he dealt with micro changes within one. The change of the size of a little bitty beak on a bird on some islands. In fact, he maintained basically there's no such thing in his thesis as species, plural, because everything, every living thing came from one. So it's all this grand tree that he muddled out and threw on paper. All related to one. There are only mutations and slow connected changes made from one. You have many. Well, it seems to me few things are more silly than to say all these different creatures came from the same creature. Unless you would say that creature being the creator, then I'd agree with you on that. For self-evident, the bugs may change the color, but bugs, guess what? They remain bugs. Bugs. Spotted bugs, green bugs, purple bugs, yellow bugs, but bugs. Bugs do not change to become physicists. Now, I've known some of the other types that maybe they change into bugs. I guess. If the timing of this book, and I've been studying about the timing of humanity in response to great stimulus throughout history, it gets bogged down. I'll try not to get too bogged down here. What happened in the next two generations? What happened in the next 80, depends on your generation, 40 year or 50 year. I'll eat a hamburger either way with you. But let's just say it's 50 years. In the next 100 years, humanity, the story of humanity is staggering. It's staggering. Because at the turn of the 19th century, science was Darwin and Darwin was science. Just like that. And for the most part, especially in Europe, Americas as well, and his theory, by the way, it is a theory, a poor one, but a theory, but it took the world by storm. It really did. Rarely in human history has something exercised such power over humanity, and growing demanded their power be strengthened in the face of growing humanistic and troubling, devolving human attitudes and actions. In other words, things are going to pot. Things are going to the devil. But boy, we're going to stick to our story. And boy, were they going to pot. When you say you have found a newfound truth that nobody seems to really think too much serious about before, evolution, everything else becomes scorned. Everything else becomes laughed at. That's just for the idiots. You have to be an idiot to believe that. They're laughed at, they're humiliated, they're scorned until they hide in their closets and they preach their sermons, but as President Obama said, only in the four walls of your churches. Especially those who consider themselves somewhat thoughtful people. So over time, you get an environment that portrays to everybody, intelligent people believe in evolution, and the dummies, they believe in creation by God. Right. Is that not where we are? Well, some of the bright boys are catching up these days, and I thank God for those. And all the while, the power that these newfound thinkers lustfully enjoy, they've been looking for such power over humanity for a long time. Don't you think for a second that our politicians in Washington seem to be power hungry over humanity and want to control every aspect of your life? That's been going on a long time, baby. All of this continues to grow larger and larger. And so what do? They lie, they cheat. All those little drawings that we had in all of our textbooks in public school about how this evolved and that became this and this is the embryo of this. Lies, 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 fraud. It's not true. What happened in those two generations after this book said, well, you know, we all came from one and all of this evolved and God's out of the picture, right? What happened? You'll find a wide variety of different counting, but it really doesn't matter because it's a lot. 50 to 80 million people died in direct connection to this theory. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of souls. Darwin said, quote, Dawkins. He said this, Darwin made it possible to be intellectually fulfilled, an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Darwin made that possible. Well, I'd hate to drink milk out of that glass. Up with atheists, up with communism, primarily a godless pursuit. Up to Darwin's time, the good majority of humanity believed the biblical account. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, all of a sudden, God's out of the picture. Science, so-called, is in. God's out. What's the result? Come on. What's the result? Millions, millions of souls were lost because of it. Why is the universe precisely the way it is? The good question should lead to a strong consideration of a supernatural designer, our Lord. The Bible says the heavens declare the handiwork of God, testimony to the God of nature. Now, most people don't give much thought at all about Darwin's second portion of the title, and it says, the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Let me give it to you. Think now. Stay with me. The preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Let me just say this and try to make it very simple. Anything which pits one race against another is of the devil. And by the way, no, I don't believe in multiple races. I believe there's one human race. Just one. Hitler took this new thought from Darwin and he ran with it straight to hell. That's exactly what happened. Stalin as well, by the way. Stalin. Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, became the Bible for National Socialism, Nazism, in Germany. By 1939, it had sold 5,200,000 copies and had been translated into 11 different languages. It expressed Hitler's racist ideology, identifying the Aryans as the genius race and the Jew, now get this, as the parasite. The parasite. And declares the need for Germans to seek living at the expense of the Slavs and hated Marxists of Russia and called revenge against France. People have said, well, wait a minute, what about the Jews? God forbade them to intermarry. Yes, yes, yeah. He certainly did. God didn't say, do not intermarry because you're going to create some genetic misfits. That was to keep them from the world being corrupted so they would be proper ambassadors of evangelists to the world. Darwinism and evolution set the stage for mankind not to choose God. And that's where we are today. That's where secular education is today. Don't choose God. Don't choose God. Don't choose God. You say, is that simple? It really comes down to, it's just that simple. Don't choose God. You have to choose and you will choose, but don't choose God. Choose science instead. Choose science, so-called, not God. Now, the reason a Hitler can't exist is because of choice. But also note, the reason your loving mother and grandmother can't exist is also because of choice. Your grandmother chose to love God and love you. She chose to do that. God chose to love you. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God chose to love you. You said, well, I guess I should accept that and feel special. Yes, you should. One chose to hate, the other chose to love God and love. I chose personally to love God, to love Him back. Not as much as He loved me. I can never do that. I'm not God. But I certainly will give it a go. I love Him. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? I choose to love my wife. I choose to love uniquely her. I choose to love my children. We choose to love our grandchildren. I choose to love my friends. I choose to love my fellow church members. I choose to love my fellow Texans. You got to say it just right, you know. I choose to love my neighbor. I choose to love the lost and sin. I choose to love my enemies. I choose, I choose, I choose. You too. You must choose. You must choose. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Amen. He that loves not his brother abideth in death. Now you do not have to choose. You don't have to choose to love the Creator. You don't have to do that. You don't have to choose to love your wife. You can mistreat your wife. You can mistreat your husband. You don't have to love your family. There's some men who desert their family, their wife, their babies. You don't have to love one another. That's self-evident. People may argue about it in the halls of education, but it's self-evident, and everybody on the street knows it to be so. It's just those guys over there argue about it all the time. It doesn't change anything that everybody sees for themselves as clear as the nose on their face. You choose. You choose. You choose. You can grieve. You can mutilate. You can dishonor, and much more by the choices you make. Or you can choose to love God and love others like He's loved you. Each person is given the capacity to love God and love others, which, by the way, is two of the great commandments, the summary of the great commandments the Lord talked about. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love God more than yourself, and love your neighbor is at least equal to yourself. That's the summary which all the law hangs upon. Number 7, and I'll be done. Say amen. I'm not preaching tonight, so I get to give it a little bit more this morning, you know. Brother Daniel's going to give it a go tonight. He better preach real good. He's got a new baby to back him up, boy. Number 7, I'll be done. In every soul, every man, every woman, every boy and girl, each one has the grace to extend or expand your own love and so perfecting the love of God in your life. In other words, you can love everybody right now and be doing real good, but there's always room for improvement. There's always room for more maturity. There's always room for more perfection and how we strengthen that great quality that mirrors the perfect love of Almighty God. One of the things which makes love so grand is the choice, the decision to love. You must decide to love and to cherish, right? To love and to cherish the vows we make at the marriage altar. To love and to cherish. Did you mean those? Well, you can even mean it more tomorrow than you do today. In our text, no man has seen God, verse 12, at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Look down to verse 16 and 17. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. So I'm very thankful for the love of God and the many expressions of God's love. And I've just scratched the surface. That's all that I've done. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless his name. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalm 92:1-2. It's a psalm for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy what? Thy loving kindness. To express not only God, but you can join God in the expression of His love. Don't you think the world would be a better place if we did that? I think hands down, the vote wouldn't even have to go in. We would all know the world would be much, much, much better off if we would love God more than all and love our neighbor as ourselves. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for the love of God? Of all the things you can talk about, the great qualities of God, certainly love must be on the top of your list somewhere. Certainly. And if not, well, I'd ask you, why not? What greater quality could you look to and point to? Love. Holiness, yeah, that's up there. But love, the greatest of these is charity. Love. Love. Love God. Love one another. Make the choice. The choice is yours. You say, well, my granny. No, this is not a choice granny makes. This is a choice that you make. This is not a choice your good daddy makes. You got to make that choice. You choose. And then you live with the consequences of that choice. That's the way it works. You say, well, I don't really like that. Well, I didn't write the book. I just delivered the telegram. You have to take that up with God. But I'll tell you right now, you'll win some arguments, but you'll lose that one. You'll lose that one. Better decide with God and choose well. Amen? Let's stand for prayer.